Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Countdown is on to the beginning of NFL Action 2019. It's the LIB Super Bowl, in case you didn't know. LIB. That would be 54. Get it? Roman numerals. LIV. All right. The humor stops here, or we'll try and keep it going. Because a funnier guy and a smarter than guy than I is ready to join us. He's been writing about the National Football League for decades. Hall of Fame voter. But now he's a boss, too. He's kind of an executive. He used to just be one of us. Now he's an editor-in-chief for fansided.com. Jason Cole joins us here on The Fan. How you doing, Jace?
I'm great. What's going on?
Glad to have you on board. What has been the thing, either with the announcement, the breaking of the news, and or the reaction to Andrew Luck's decision to step away from the National Football League, that has bothered you the most, and the thing that you feel best about, either individuals or groups or overall sentiments for the decision that was made and where we sit right now, the Indianapolis Colts do, about this whole last 72 hours and Andrew Luck deciding to walk away from his livelihood?
I think it bothers me. It's not, like, put it in the proper context of I don't dislike Andrew Luck for doing this, but I'm sad that he quit, right? I mean, this is a guy who was a good player, very good player, with a chance to be great. Maybe be a Hall of Famer, all those things you talk about. And he walked away from it. And you hate to see an athlete do that. At the same time, I'm happy that somebody can walk away from this game, because look, it's a meat grinder sport.
Yep.
And if you have that opportunity to make a choice like that and, you know, forced to play forever because of circumstance, you know, you have control of your life. And so I'm happy for him on that level. I'm sad as a fan. That's the thing that you know, gets me over and over again, because I've known this kid since he was in college and, you know his dad pretty well and all that. And so, you know, it's sadness that he didn't get a chance to live up to all of his ability by having a full career. But at the same time, hey, congratulations for getting out before the game, you know, destroyed you.
Game got the better of him, correct.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Since you referenced him, I'll go there. His dad is now associated with the XFL. He's going to help Vince McMahon with his new league. I actually took calls and tweets over the weekend that suggested that's where he's going to go. And here's where the rub comes in. You said it, and I thought you said it well. There's a difference between being mad and sad. You're sad that his career is over, but you're not mad that his career is over. And I've heard fans and pundits on the National Football League who are mad because he did what he did. If he joins the XFL, then you're allowed to be mad. Up until then, you can only be sad. But if he joins his dad's league and his whole thing about worrying about his health or whatever is just a line of malarkey, yeah, then go ahead and boo him all you want. Other than that, back off, knuckleheads.
He's not doing that. His dad is not embarrassing the NFL like that. That's not what this is about. And yeah, it'd make for great theater. That's not what the Luck family is about.
No.
Like, they're not in this for theater. Now, Vince McMahon is, and I'm sure that Vince McMahon would love that idea. That's not going to happen. The kid's walking away. I mean, that was pretty, you know, what you saw on Saturday night was pretty heartfelt. That didn't sound like a guy who was manipulating a situation to go play in some, you know, some minor league sport.
Agreed. We're talking to Jason Cole from fansided.com here with us on The Fan. Give me a number. Percentage chance Andrew Luck will, for whatever the reason, change of heart, better physical condition, finds out he can't get along without it, that we see Andrew Luck play in a National Football League again. What kind of percentage you put on the chance of that?
I don't know, 10, maybe 15. Not strong, but not impossible. I just think you have to have such passion to play this game and such desire to deal with the pain that goes with it. He's going to have to get healthy. Like, he's going to have to feel really good to go back and do it again. That's my feeling. Like, and maybe it's just, you know, his body needs rest. You know, all I know is I've watched this kid play for a long time, and he's played so hard, so physically. I mean, you know, the number of guys he ran over when he was in college, he made tackles in college. He's made tackles in the pros. He's hit, you know, he likes to get hit and hit other people. You know, I've talked to him about that a couple of times, and I was like, dude, stop. And he goes, no, it's part of warming up and, you know, part of getting in the flow of a game. It's getting hit and hitting somebody else. I'm like, to your quarterback, stop. And he just won't. And that's part of the reason why his career has ended up being shorter than it should be.
We'll see if his mindset changes or if that's the way we'll remember him 20, 30, 40 years from now. If the Indianapolis Colts were going to be X this good over the course of the season, they're now going to be Y because Jacoby Brissett is going to be their starting quarterback. How big a difference is there between X and Y?
If you're talking 10 wins, then it's 7. I think he makes a three-game – I think the Andrew Luck makes a three-game difference. I mean, remember what he did his rookie year, right? I mean, they had gone 1-15 the year before, and he takes them to the playoffs. Now, he wasn't wholly responsible for that, you know, 9 or 10 win difference. I can't remember what it was. But having a quarterback makes everything work so much easier in this league when you have a guy who can steady that position and provide you play. I mean, you're talking about a playoff contender, you know, what should be a playoff contender versus a team that's scratching to get into the playoffs, if that makes sense. And I think Jacoby Brissett's a pretty good player, but there's a pretty marked difference between those two.
Right. He's a pretty good player as a backup. But if you now make him a starter, he gets compared to the 31 other starters. If you compared him to the other backups in the league, he might have been right at the top of that list. He might have been a top 2 or 3 guy in the league. Now he's, what, does he crack the top 25? I got to believe
maybe,
he's...
Maybe the top 25. I mean, look, if you're talking about teams, you know, like the Dolphins talking about, you know, starting Ryan Fitzpatrick... Even if they start Josh Rosen, you know, today, if you were trying to win a game today, you would take Jacoby Brissett over Josh Rosen, right?
I would.
Say he's somewhere in that 20 to 25 range, maybe 23 to 30, something like that. I mean, he's just not he's not an upper-level quarterback. He's not even a mid-tier quarterback. And this is it's sort of, if you assume that Alex Smith, and I know he's injured right now, but when he has played, that he's an league average quarterback, right? If Alex Smith is your mean, okay, Jacoby Brissett is behind that right now. But I think he's capable of getting to that. And if he gets to that, then you have a chance to make the playoffs.
And I think the Colts went from being a playoff team to a non-playoff team because I think the drop-off is slightly more than you, but we're in the same ballpark. Ezekiel Elliott fired out today through an interview with Maximum and told people, hey, I want to play my entire career with the Cowboys, but remember, Emmitt Smith up and left, so I can't promise you anything. Just a little verbal return to some of the quotes that have been coming out of Cowboy management after games and singing the praises of their young running back, Pollard. Is this, like, bad news for Cowboy fans who are dying to get Ezekiel Elliott back into their fold? Does the verbal batting back and forth through the media tell you anything about the negotiations between Elliott and the Cowboys?
It tells me that one side's going to crack, because like, they're when you have each side, you know, crabbing at each other, that means there's an emotional stake involved, and that means they're getting antsy about it. The ones you worry about is when there's no talk from one side or the other. That means that they're dug in and they're perfectly comfortable with their position. They don't feel like they have to explain themselves. When you see people trying to explain themselves, that means that they have doubt about their position. That's how I always view that. So I think that, look, I think in 4 or 5 days, we're going to get an answer here on how serious the Cowboys are on not wanting to do this. I mean, and the biggest thing here with them and Zeke Elliott is they just don't trust the kid. As much as Jerry Jones wants to, you know, talk about, you know, how he stood behind Zeke, you know, all these times, they believe if they give this kid a lot of money, he's going to be a train wreck. And that's one of the reasons they're trying to resist this. At the same time, Zeke's people know you better strike now when you have a chance because, yeah, it could blow up any time with that kid.
Does the fact that neither Dak Prescott and or Amari Cooper has gotten a contract extension in the meantime, does that signify anything to you?
It means they're playing a little bit of liar's dice with each one of them to see which one will crack first. And I think that Cooper won't because I know, you know, his agent knows he can just wait it out and get the money that he wants. I think that, and they know that that's probably the easiest of the three to replace. They run their offense around Zeke. That's why Zeke is willing to hold his ground, stand his ground right now. And Dak's quarterback. And even mediocre, like, if you're a mediocre quarterback and you hit the market or you just get to the franchise tag, you're in great shape. Kirk Cousins proved that.
Fair enough. Who's the team to beat right now in the NFC in your mind?
The team to beat in the NFC is... Rams are going backwards. Chicago, I'm not quite there. Philly, you know, where are they? Dallas, kind of there. The South has produced the best teams over the last 3 years. I'm going to say that it's New Orleans. And I know they didn't play great down the stretch last year. Breeze regressed a lot, but I think that had to do with teams being able to take away Michael Thomas a little bit better and the fact that they didn't have a second receiver. I really like New Orleans, but I think a lot of those teams are pretty close. Like, I could go with Philly. Depending on what Carson Wentz looks like early in the season and whether his ability to get outside the pocket is back and his sort of his faith in his knee, I could go with Philly pretty easy.
Fair enough. And Alvin Kamara better stay healthy because last year, one of the things that made New Orleans as good as it was one-two punch. Without Ingram there, Kamara goes down, I think the Saints are in a little bit of a spot. So that's why I would lean toward, I'd go Philly, New Orleans, you're going New Orleans, Philly, but either one of us could flip, agreed on that. AFC, it's the Patriots or the Chiefs. Which horse you riding right now?
Well, if you're telling me that Josh Gordon's actually going to play a full season, which I would never bet on, I still like the Patriots. If you tell me otherwise, I like the Chiefs. I think that the problem that New England's going to have is finding a real threat on offense to make that. You know, you can dink and dunk all you want, but if you don't have somebody like Gronkowski or Gordon to be the engine of that off, to be the big play threat. I think in the past we've seen that opposing teams have been able to suppress the Patriots offense pretty well. They aren't able to get any kind of chunk yardage. And I know that they're not built for that necessarily. It's an elaborate sort of running game, passing attack with a lot of short passes, but you still need to have somebody who keeps the opposing team. But I will say this, the Patriots defense is going to be a whole lot better than it's been the last 3 years.
I agree. I think the Michael Bennett acquisition, I watched him play all last year in Philly. I think it's the only mistake that Howie Roseman made during this offseason. I think Howie's done a real nice job at retooling their roster. He let Michael Bennett walk away for next nothing to New England, which I think was a mistake. All right, last question. Make it easy for you. Nice little under-over for you. Between the Patriots and Chiefs, if I set the over-under at 10.5, not wins, games played by Gordon, Josh for the Patriots, Melvin for the Chargers. Which way are you going? Over or under 10.5? Josh first.
Under.
Melvin.
Over.
Well, in San Diego, then L.A.'s got a chance to be in the mix if that's the case.
Yeah, right. But Josh Gordon, like, he's not a bad kid. I've met him. He's actually lived in Gainesville, my hometown, you know, for a while. But he's just not dependable. I mean, he doesn't love the game enough to you know, say, oh, he's actually going to, you know, make it all the way through the season. It's sad because he's such an incredible talent. Yeah. But it's just not. He's never loved the game, and this is way beyond an addiction issue. It's a pure passion for football, and he just doesn't have it.
And you know where you could pick that up? You have the access. You go to games. You hang out with the players. You see these guys. You could just pick that up from Hard Knocks last year for the time that he spent. And he wasn't on a program all that often, but you got the feeling that it was kind of a job for him. He needed to do it to be able to continue to do the rest of the things that he wanted to do in his life. Some not necessarily within the boundaries of the law. Not good. Yeah, I got that feeling last year. You're confirming that for me. We'll see if he's more motivated.
He's been like that since high school. I mean, you know, I can't tell you the number of college coaches who tried to get that kid, to recruit that kid, and they would set up appointments for him, you know, just to talk to him on the phone, and he wouldn't answer the phone. He just didn't care. So he's not, and the only reason they went to Baylor is that Art Briles actually physically went to his home and said, "I want to sign you to a scholarship." Like he would never pick up the phone for anybody. This guy just doesn't care.
Well, we'll see if Belichick can get the most out of him this year. Always a pleasure, Jason. Good catching up, brother. Get ready for some football. We'll talk during the year.
Anytime. Talk to you later. Bye.
Jason Cole, editor in chief, now an exec. Along with writing a whole bunch of columns for fansided.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.